snot to move your feet to the rockin'est Hub City beat of Inspector 7. One step beyond!
We'll be right back. that's all I have to say. Hey, boy, you better bring a check around to the sad, sad truth, the dirty Lord down.
How are you, sir?
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. Do a couple settings here. Just got to check the settings. Got to make sure you're right on. You know what I mean? Yeah. Don't like the redo. We may be changing from Zoom, by the way. I'll let you know.
Yeah, I heard this. You told me last time.
Yeah, I'll tell you next time, too, once I get there. But
keep
there's a lot of cool things with that. And then it does some really neat things.
Talk's cheap.
Talk's cheap. Yes, it is. Product is not. And the things I had to buy are not. But it should be fun. Almost there. Almost there. Up a little bit. Goes here. And then... okay. Music off. That's done. Let's kill that. Make sure we're not going to get interrupted. Okay, right on time. Here we go. Save that. And. Okay.
Hello, and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 14th of July, 2026.
Isn't it nice? How's the weather?
Here it's nice.
Yeah.
A little warm.
It's warm down here. Let me tell you something.
Well, down there, I understand it's just boiling.
Oh, you know,
it's different.
Even when it shows something like it's 85 degrees, which, I mean, that's hot, but I'm saying 85, it's unbearable. It's not 85. It's something like, you know, it's the equivalent of people in the north, like the wind chill factor takes it down from 35 degrees to negative 12. Our humidity factor takes it from 85 to like 112. Because it just sits on you. You just can't get rid of it.
Yeah, we have a marine layer, it's called. Keeps that from happening.
Yep. It's nice. Very nice. All right, let's talk about what's going on, because there was plenty to talk about. For example, the close to the pin for SpaceX. Price almost hit $135 yesterday, which, for historical significance, is the price it came out as the IPO. Quickly went to 225. We're talking about almost a retracement of $90 already.
Yeah.
Surprised?
No.
No, not surprised.
It's overpriced.
Yeah, overpriced. Earnings season is here. I mean, and when I say here we go. A lot of banks announced today, and a couple of other big techs. Oh boy, we saw one in particular. And
yeah, your favorite.
Oh yeah, we're going to talk about that. I got some good things to talk about with that. And
yeah, I got screwed on that deal.
We both got screwed. Both got totally screwed. That's how it goes. The market is unforgiving. Inflation, yeah. Inflation is choppy. War, the war is back on. It was off, it's back on.
I don't think it was ever off.
It was a ceasefire.
Yeah, okay.
What do you mean? That's what I was told.
They were still bombing during the ceasefire.
No, they're bombing less. So you don't understand. You know what?
Oh, yeah, you're right. They were bombing less.
You don't understand. John, you have to understand the way things go, that what they say is what they mean, but not what they mean what they say. Mm-hmm. So we have a new diet going on. People losing, I mean, really, could it be one of the most miracle diets? Just takes, I don't know, 3 days for 10 pounds. It's called cyclosporiasis.
Yeah, just eat a lot of salads, you'll catch it.
You'll just get it, and you'll just projectile vomit, and I think it's called asplosions.
Yeah, explosive diarrhea.
Explosive diarrhea called asplosions. And inflation came out. We had some relief today. That was good news. Markets love it. You know, the fact is the markets just cling on to any piece of good news and totally discount, or as they say, shrug off. That's the word, shrug off. You'll see that a lot. Market shrugged off the war. Market shrugged off the inflation number. Market shrugged off the bad news from ABC. Or XYZ. IBM's pre-announcement. What does this say? This is pretty much, we're going to talk about that in a second. Bank earnings and an earnings cheat sheet we're going to talk about tonight. And also some interesting chart data. And in health news, since you can't be the only one stealing the spotlight in this area, I'll be having surgery next week. I'll be having the meniscus repair.
Oh, from the knee?
Yeah, my knee. My right lateral.
That's right, from a paddle ball.
Pickleball.
Yeah.
This happened 5 years ago. It started to happen and progressed, and all of a sudden it was okay. I play. I didn't think anything of it, just that I was, you know, kind of like getting sore. And then the next day it would be fine. Then all of a sudden one day I'm like, you know what? This isn't good. So I had some things done to it, a PRP. It was getting a little bit better. And I got to tell you something today, no good. I mean, it's swollen, it's hot, it's ugly, it's bad. So next Thursday, we'll have a show next week. And I did it especially on a Thursday, which would be just enough time for recovery for the following Tuesday.
Yeah, you can still listen to the No Agenda show.
Sure, of course. Listen on Sunday, all that. So that's what's going on. We have some other things to talk about here. Let's get into it right now. Today, IBM stood for I'll Be Melting. As Big Blue turned into Big Blue Up. Like that one? IBM, new name. It's been murdered. IBM, I bought misery. You like the little newsroom in the background there?
It's great.
IBM, investment board malfunction. Big Blue looked more like Deep Red today, and the only cloud around IBM today was hanging over the stock chart. IBM investors, last one, got a free software update, version 2.0 of disappointment. And there you have it.
The comedy stylings of Andrew Horowitz.
if that's what you can call it. Oh, let's talk about what happened with IBM's face plant today. Plunged upwards of 25% today, which, by the way,
I had it on the game as a short.
I know. And you were doing it despite Andrew, and Andrew went long. You got stopped out. My stuff was looking great. And then I got stopped out.
Yeah, well, that's the way the game works.
This was the worst session on record for IBM. This is not a slouchy small cap name either.
I wouldn't think, no.
And this is a stock that came out very recently with some really good stuff. They had some, the Red Hat had some really good announcements. All sorts of things were good. The preliminary revenue was $17.2 billion. This is, by the way, a preliminary in advance of the earnings next week report. That's why things got dicey. It wasn't just a disappointment on the earnings announcement. It was a pre-announcement. And when a company has to do a pre-announcement, you know things are kind of a little weird. But it was only a $700 million miss, which, again, I wouldn't say that's terrible, but okay. I mean,
not with those numbers, no.
Adjusted earnings are projected to be 2.93 versus 3.01. So again, not a huge miss, but enough of a miss. Is that even 10%? No. That's like, is it 2% maybe? 2%? Management said customers were, this is where the problem came in. Management was saying that they were concerned because customers were redirecting spending towards AI servers, memory, and hardware while delaying software purchases. Now, let me just give you what I think, and I'd like your opinion, what the how that actually is translated. They don't have enough money after the unbelievable costs that are going on with these things to pay for some of the software purchases, because they're afraid that they're going to fall behind and have even higher costs in the future if they don't spend the money right now. And they might as well wait for the software, because that's not going anywhere.
And I'm not sure that's what, maybe.
Well, something's up.
Something's up.
And this has been going on with the whole software business. And by the way, IBM is not only software, just to be clear, but they must have seen some freaking drop off. Was it this weekend? Let me think about it. Yes, this weekend. I was at a party this weekend with commercial real estate developers, commercial plumbers, and others. And all three people that I was talking to, without any kind of prompting, said that they're having a problem getting deals It wasn't deals done. It was getting deals going. So the commercial developer had all these deals, but they couldn't break ground because none of the people were willing to pull the plug on taking money out of the loans because the loan interest was too high at this point on their various revolvers to get the thing going. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then that was flowing down into the plumber, who then wasn't getting the order confirmation from the builder to get that done. So this whole thing is a real mess. And they're saying they had...
None of that sounds good. That reminds me kind of the 2007-2008 credit letters of credit problems they were having, if you recall that, just before the recession.
Something is going on weird. And maybe it's because people are tapped out on the tokens they're using for the AI, the cost factors to get their technology. That's why I think Dell is up, 7% today? Because Dell's like, the hell with this. They're buying our crap. That's what's going on right now. So let's see. Dell was up, 7.12% at 457, close to an all-time high, just off the all-time high. And all these other companies that are selling this stuff. Now, interestingly enough, Hewlett Packard Enterprise is up 4.9%. Now, explain to me how either Hewlett Packard Enterprise or Hewlett Packard Corp, right, either one, were up so much on a terrible day for IBM. Does that make any sense?
Well, it does if you just separate IBM as a company and not being in the same game as the other guys. I don't even know what IBM does half the time. Are they a computer company like HP or Dell?
Well, I would think they're more of a
services company.
Services, more like HP Enterprises, right? They're not the hardware side; they're the other side. You know, that's where they bought the Savior was Linux, right? They got that. So, but that they're talking about people spending differently. That's a big issue.
What is the symbol for HP Enterprises?
HPE.
And the other one's HPO?
HPC?
I thought it was HPO.
Let's see. That's a good question. I don't remember. Nope. Hewlett Packard is HPE. I know that. That's there. And then it's HP. Just HPQ. HPQ. It's an O with a little squiggle. It's an O with a little drip on the bottom. That's what it is.
Okay.
It was only down 0.5% today.
Yeah. I'm surprised it's as low as it is. I think I'm going to put it on the game.
The year to date, it is up 2.51%.
Yeah.
And you have their earnings are coming out. I don't know when their earnings are coming out. I don't have that on this page. But they had a 20% EPS beat and a 2.4% revenue beat last time. So my point, though, is that my concern is when I start to see, now there's only one right now, so okay. But this is a big one. They take the stock down 25%, which also removed about 400 points on the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
Oh, huh.
But the Dow Jones Industrial Average does not go down 400 points.
No.
So I've seen this before, though. I remember a few times when like Meta was the big name in the NASDAQ, and it goes down, and they just rally everything around it. So the indices, these programs don't want the indices to go down. So you could do a lot of maneuvering and manipulation inside of that, with algorithms and all sorts of computer mastery to keep the indices up while they're taken out of one stock. Just blow out that stock yourself and throw it into the rest of the names in there to hold everything up. Cradling. I'll call it cradling. That's my new word. I just thought of it. It's cradling the markets. Okay, President Trump says the U.S. blockade will apply only to ships from Iranian ports. He said the Straits of Hormuz is open, all except traffic from Iran, of course. He says, based on highly productive conversations with Middle East leadership, I've decided, by the way, that's in between his naps, it seems, during the press conferences right now. So I guess he may be sitting in Joe's chair and it's rubbing off. That's the problem. So you got Sleepy Joe, now you got Dozing Don, you know?
Oh, brother.
Oh, boy. He said, I've decided to replace the 20% United States reimbursement fee, which is pulled it out of a hat yesterday, with trade and investment deals from the various Gulf states they'll be making into the United States. So the theory is that now you can pass, but you got to do something. So here's the beauty of this. This is the beauty of all this. There is no way this can be proven. No real numbers. But
yeah,
it is.
It could be total BS.
But he had to clearly walk back the 20%. There was no way for him to institute that anyway. It's also against international maritime law, from what I understand.
Yeah, it wasn't going to happen.
It's not going to happen. So the Hormuz, as far as I saw, when I looked at the AIS map, if you want to look at this, look up A. So anybody wants to see the track of what is actually happening relatively within hours, you can see the tracks of the ships that are actively in the Strait of Hormuz, or anywhere around the world, by the way. But just go into your Goog or wherever you're finding your search and type in AIS Hormuz map. AIS is a special transponder receiver protocol that's required for maritime and marine. And what that does is it will give you exactly look at what's happening. It's not going to give you a live like it's flowing, but it's going to show you where things are. And you will notice on that map, there is a definitive area that is really small and tight compared to all the other ones where ships pass through, and pretty much no ships going through there. still at about 20% of where it was from prior, from the prior. So, meanwhile, oil went up about 4% yesterday, 9% yesterday, and about 2% today on this news. And where is it now? Shall we look? Just for the live nature of our show, oil up again. Crude oil about touching upon $80.
Yeah, it's actually kind of low considering.
They talked about a glut recently, so maybe they'll reverse that. Wall Street banks, they're printing money. I mean, they're just like printing the Benjamin, stacking them up. J.P. Morgan posted $21 billion in net revenue for the quarter. Markets rose, revenue rose 35% to $12 billion, including an 86% jump in equities revenue for the quarter. Bank of America earned $9.1 billion as equity trading revenue increased 70%. What the hell is going on? Goldman Sachs reported earnings of $21 a share and a 25% annualized return on common equity. Jamie Dimon described conditions as close to as good as it gets. And don't forget, they also got a lot of money from many of these companies, Goldman, JP, from the SpaceX deal. That came in during the quarter.
Ah, yeah.
So that helped. Definitely helped. IPO this week, SK Hynix raised about $26.5 billion through a NASDAQ ADR. And if people are like, well, what's an ADR? What is that? So here's the deal. You have a company in a foreign country that wants to raise money. Why? Because they can. And an established company, especially like a Samsung or an SK Hynix, they can, and they start trading. How would you or I, John, go about buying SK Hynix? We're not going to the Korean exchange.
You buy an ADR.
So you got to buy an ADR if there's an ADR available, or maybe possibly
there is.
Well, there wasn't until yesterday.
Huh.
So SK Hynix decided to go public through the U.S. markets, and they do what's called an ADR. ADR is called an American Depository Receipt. And what that is basically is a depository receipt, right? It's a share of those of that stock in an American wrapper. So they came out with a $26.5 billion listing, grabbed that up very nicely. Offering price at $149, finished about 13% higher for the day, but then sunk nicely the next day pretty hard. 7 times demand for this thing. We know what they do. There's high bandwidth memory with NVIDIA, all that. This is now leading, because it was successful. So what happens next? Samsung's like, hey, I got an idea. Let's do that. So they issue shares and they dump it on the U.S. markets. U.S. investors get an easy way to invest in it without going overseas onto those markets. And they take in a heap of cash. Gotta love modern day finance.
Yeah, it's creative.
Yep, creative financing. Yeah, well, it's just what they do. It's just they just go out and can do this. But I pulled up some interesting charts I thought you'd like. You like the charts. You want to go through these?
Let me go look at them. Hold on. Charts. The best quarters plus one?
Yeah. So this is something we wanted to look at because the S&P 500 had a really good quarter. And we wanted to look at the quarterly performance of the S&P 500, quarterly, and see what happened one quarter later. We went back to 1990 to find the best quarters. And I think somewhere in here, there you go, the quarter for April 2026. Right, see that one?
2020, yeah.
That's kind of a little bit to the right. The best quarter ever since 1990. And if it's not since 1990, it could be forever, was April 2020. We know what happened.
That's a whopper.
We know what happened there.
Yeah, COVID.
COVID and
out of COVID.
Yeah, it was great. It was like, okay, look, you know what? It was shutting everything down. But you know what? We're going to give you quadrillions of dollars. Have at it.
Free money.
Everybody decided, you know, I know what we're going to do. I'm going to take this money that I really should be using for my living because I can't get out and food and things like that and maybe my safety and my housing because I don't have a job. I'm putting it in the stock market. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, there you go.
You know?
Yeah, the October 98 bar is a little more realistic for the representing a boom time.
Yeah. Yep. 2 years before the crash. But then, so what you look is, what I found fascinating about this was that, and by the way, April 2009 and July through July 2009, those two quarters, see that all the way to the right?
Yeah.
That was also coming out of, right? March 2029 was the, 2009 was the low of the financial crisis.
All right.
And you banged it up. Again, what is it? What are those two things, the first thing we saw and that have in common? Massive stimulus. Lesson of the century. When the government is stimulating, the markets will move. Do not be one of those people sitting, oh no, it's not going to work. It's going to, but no, the markets are going to move. So the point was that I wanted to look at this, and what I found very interesting about this was that it shows that the momentum carries forward to the next quarter, even after a really good quarter, where oftentimes you think, well, you know, it's a great quarter. How could it, you know, it's got to take a little bit back here. But pretty much in every instance of these really great quarters where there's been over a 10% return in a quarter, the next quarter is higher even by a small amount.
Yeah, interesting.
So, nice little chart there, a little 3D graphic. You go find this over on the show notes page for episode number 810 on dhunplugged.com. And by the way, when you're there, kind of root around a little bit, see what's going on. Find that little button that says donate, and a pop-up will happen, and it'll say, hey, thanks a lot. What do you want to do? And that goes into our little kitty so we can create this and produce this and run this and have it live and have it on the servers and have things going and all these games that we play, all that good stuff. You can be a part of this too. So go over there and give. And with that, let's talk about the next chart. So take a moment to absorb this.
Okay, what do we got here? Equal weight versus market cap weight ratio.
Right. So
relative performance of the average stock. So you got your mega caps, and you have I cannot figure this chart out.
It's a little bit. That's why I said take a second. Bottom line here, on the left hand side, in through the beginning of the year, it's a narrow market. What this is showing is the ratio equal weight versus cap weight. It's showing on the left side, without all the detail here for a second, was that the mega caps dominated for a while and then they started to turn. And now what's happening is the market is broadening out. To the right, the average stock is doing a lot better. To the left, it's only a select few stocks that are doing well. That's why the markets didn't do well during that period of time. It really couldn't hold up. And then it turned dramatically. And again, a March bottom. A March bottom again. It's like something happens in that March period. I don't know if it's the beginning of the year and politicians in particular are emboldened to do things. And then they're like, oh, no, I can't do that.
It's the end of the quarter.
It's the end of the quarter, yeah, clearly. But it's also, I think, something happens in the beginning of the year. And oftentimes it does deal with policy decisions, whether it's political, central bank, or otherwise. It's a weird thing.
Well, there's got to be an explanation for it.
I don't know. It could be just totally coincidence.
Yeah, no such thing.
No such thing. Interesting chart. We just thought that it was, what we see here is this. Forget about everything else. Bottom line here is, since the end of March, the markets have been doing what you want them to do, which is to broaden out. Now, I will tell you that in the last month or so, they're narrowing again. And you can see that. You can see that they came off the bottom and then they just halted, right? You see where it's kind of not moving now?
Yeah.
It's not moving up or down? That's not a good thing either.
It's just going sideways.
Right. What's happening now is this rotation is happening. That every day there's something else for whatever reason. Right. And
it's
holding
all they talk about on the shows on TV. It's right. A rotation.
Right. That's all that's happening. But they won't say anything negative about it on those shows on TV. They'll just talk about how it's rotation. What's really happening is the market is, as I mentioned, this cradling that's going on. This cradling that's holding up the indices. It's all about, in my opinion, holding up the indices, which is good for us. You know, we invest in the indices, so that's good. We mentioned about oil. Let's talk about Apple suing OpenAI. I'm sure this is something that's on your mind.
Nah, not really.
No. But the lawsuit is ugly. I mean, the two former Apple employees and OpenAI being sued by alleging coordinated theft of hardware trade secrets. The defendants include OpenAI hardware chief Tang Tan and technical employee Cheng Liu, both former employees of Apple. They claim that confidential product designs and manufacturing information were taken to accelerate OpenAI's consumer device program. More than 400 Apple employees reportedly now work at OpenAI. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of, what did they used to call it? When Microsoft would come in and partner with you and then steal everything from you? What was that? Remember that?
Yeah, they used to do that all the time, very routinely.
Well, isn't this the same playbook?
It's a little different. This is more like the Intel versus AMD playbook, where you had real secret. I mean, the kind of stuff that Microsoft was stealing was rinky-dink. They actually had to buy a couple of companies because they couldn't get away with that. They were stealing stuff like, you know, some guy's idea for screensavers. It was just putting little guys, ruining the lives of little guys. It wasn't like these are big companies. Microsoft would never do that to a big company because they'd go after them.
Mm-hmm.
So the playbook's slightly different. This is two big companies that are going after each other. This more like AMD and Intel.
They're looking for like injunctive relief by the end of this week or something like that. They're looking to put some kind of halt. I don't know how where this is going to play out. I will tell you just earlier. Let me see what's happening now. OpenAI was down. I tried to get on ChatGPT and it's back up now. It was ugly. It was like for 10 minutes, it was coming up with some weird stuff on the screen.
Oh.
Yeah, like, you know, error loading this, but not like from my side. It was from their side. It was a script error. I guess it happens. Yep. IPO and mega deal fever returns. Global deals valued above $10 billion reached a record level during the first half of 2026, which brings us right back to the banks. We'll talk about that in a second, right? So mega deals representing about approximately 43% of newly announced M&A volume, merger and acquisition. And JP Morgan, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, all leading. SK Hynix, SpaceX. The boom depends on high equity valuation, strong AI demand, and large transactions continuing. So, now I got a lot of stuff on the banks. I don't know if we want to go through all of this, but there's a lot of really good information here. We can just blast through some of the highlights.
If it's good, let's go through it.
Yeah. If we miss any of this, I really encourage you to go back to, just to get this point again, to dsunplugged.com, episode 810, 810, and then you'll get this information because there's a lot of good stuff here and here. Bank of America, first of all, trading record. Unbelievable. Net income, I said, rose 27% to $9.1 billion for the quarter. They beat by 8 cents per share. Revenue increased 15%. Again, for a bank, this is pretty good. Investment banking fees increased 50%. 50% to $2 billion. So the big thing here was the net interest income is expected to be near the upper end of the previous 6 to 8% range. Net interest income, NII, or the thing that banks make money on, is good for the banks right now because the yield curve is very much cooperating, where it goes from bottom left to top right, and you got money that you're lending out at a higher rate than money you're taking in. So you're paying less to the people with deposits than you are getting in from the mortgages and from the loans. It's a good time. So that's a big issue for a Bank of America, for example. Now, Goldman Sachs, on the other hand, profit reached $6.6 billion for the quarter. This was $20.98 per share versus $14.48 per share. Now, let's put that in perspective. That's a lot. That's the technical, that's a technical term of this here. Goldman Sachs was up 9% today at $1,140, a 52-week and all-time high. This year to date, this is a little sneaky. I don't think people know what's going on here. But year to date, how much? Give me, what do you think Goldman Sachs stock is up year to date? We're only 6 months in.
20%.
You would be right if it was 2 months in.
30%.
No, you'd be right if it was 3 months in. There's a hint
40%.
Here. 40%. Well, that's 4 months in. Go ahead, say it now.
50%.
That's 5 months in. We're 6 months in. Go ahead.
60%.
That's correct. 60%. You knew it all along. You're just dragging me along with you, right?
I'm not that good.
60% for the year, Goldman Sachs. And they were talking about beheading David Solomon. Remember that?
Yeah.
DJ Dave Saul's got to go. Got to go. He's no good. Look at this. Not getting anything going here. I remember saying, well, as long as the stock is over 500, the shareholders are good with Solomon. It's $1,100.
I would hope so.
$1,100 for Goldman Sachs.
Yeah.
Times are good. Funny. A bank is up 60% year to date. And by the way, this is not a situation where, I'm sorry, it's up four. You know what? I messed it up. It's up 30% year to date. It's up 60% for 1 year. Sorry. You're almost right the first time. But my point is, I screwed that up. But the point is that their earnings are just off the charts. And the stock has been on a tear the last 5 years. It's up almost 4.5-fold in 5 years. That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Now, Citigroup, net income jumped 45% to $5.8 billion for the period. And nobody likes Citibank, by the way. Nobody likes Citigroup. The stock was 3.15 per share of net income versus 274 expected. Revenue.
Well, nobody likes half these banks. Wells Fargo, yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
There's a lot not to
Bank
like
of
about
America,
Wells.
I won't even do business with Bank of America.
I do business and I own Bank of America, by the way. I've been doing business with Bank of America since I started in business. I don't really talk to them. I don't deal with them. I just do business. I just do all of our accounts go through Bank of America.
They're miserable.
I have never had a problem. Because I don't deal with them. That's the point. I don't deal with them. I don't know what would happen if I had to deal with them.
You would feel the same way I feel.
Revenue rose 14%. The bank's highest quarterly revenue in a decade. Investment banking revenue, again, for Citigroup, increased 44%. Equity trading revenue was 45%. Return to tangible common equity was 13%. Down 5.5% for stock. Just goes to show you, they just don't love some of these names. Wells Fargo is another one. And by the way, if you look at Citigroup, here's something interesting to note. Citigroup is currently trading at $133 per share. Okay? It's at a close to a one-year high, we'll call it, give or take. All right. If you look at the stock chart over a couple of years, it looks okay. Looks reasonable. As a matter of fact, the 5-year low was $38. That was back in 23. And here we are at 147. Pretty good, right? 10-year low at $32. It's now it's at 147. But if you go back a little bit further, and realize something, that's not all about the stock price. It's about the fact that in the top of the market in 2007, 2008, Citigroup was actually $560 a share.
Oh, is that right?
Yep. They did a reverse split to get to where they had to go because, you know, when it got crazy. It went down so low. So it's up nicely now, and it's off its bottom from 2016, 17. And it's finally reaching a point that's interesting. But if you look at this chart, there was a mountain there that it just collapsed from. At the time, it was, what was the tie here? Let's see what this says here. Right here. 560 down to, in a matter of, by the way, in a matter of no time, from 560, it came down to a low of 26 in 2011.
Nice short.
That was Citigroup for you. Most people don't look far enough back to see that. It's fascinating that. That's a unique situation. Wells Fargo said that the removal of the regulatory growth restrictions is allowing the bank to deploy capital and expand its balance sheet. That's good. There's a chart, there's a table here that shows you the stocks that reported today and how they did. And we mentioned that Citi's not on here. Citi not on here? Citi's not on this list. But basically, they did very well today, generally speaking. Some of the smaller ones didn't. On here is also for the point of time here, we're gonna skip this, all doing getting hit deep into these. But here's what's coming up: earnings season is right here, right now. July 15th, it's tomorrow. ASML, this is a major. I think it's Netherlands, right? Is it Netherlands? ASML.
ASML, yeah.
So
yeah, those guys. Yeah, yep. Those guys.
So they're coming out expecting revenue to be EPS at 7.92 on 11, give it a take, $10.5 billion revenue, bookings, demand for updated AI chip equipment guidance, which is going to be mattering the most. J&J is coming out also tomorrow. I think that's pre-market. EPS expected to be about $2.86. $25 billion of revenue. Morgan Stanley is tomorrow. A couple more financials. BlackRock. TSMC is going to be coming out.
That'll be a good one.
Yep. Let me look at this. Let me see what that looks like. So year to date, TSMC is up 100%. This Taiwan semiconductor. So that's going to be interesting to see them and what they do. They're going to be the start of tech hardware, right? Because IBM wasn't tech hardware. Taiwan is. They're going to be looking at about $3.76 on EPS, $40 billion of revenue. Major margin issues are going to be looking at the gross margins, increase in capital spending guidance, huge. United Health is going to be coming in. That's been a very sleepy winter. United Healthcare. Do we have that on the game?
We're the joint. It's our only
joint. That's been a major sleepy winner, which is kind of interesting.
It was actually quite funny.
Maybe time to take some profits on that.
I can't do it with the game.
I know, yeah.
You might.
GE Aerospace is coming out on the 16th. Netflix on the 16th. Netflix has been in the doghouse for a while now. And now that you have these AI movies coming out, could be good for them, could be bad for them. There was a discussion this morning I was watching of a new AI, Odysseus, a new movie coming out, and fully 100% AI generated. They said that it was done in the spare time of this AI movie producer, single-handedly, which is unbelievable, for high to mid to high five digits. I'm thinking to myself, five digits? That the budget was five digits. What is that? How much is that? 75,000?
A couple hundred grand.
That's six digits.
You're right. 100 grand max.
Yeah, 100 grand max.
99. Yeah.
Can you imagine that? I mean, I'd make a movie if I could do that. I don't know what I'd do it of, but something.
Well, I don't think that. That's not the name of it, though, because the Odyssey just came out. They can't.
It is. It's another one. Odysseus AI movie. Let's see. Let me see. It's coming up. Let me see. Searching. Odysseus the Fall. Yep. Odysseus the Fall is 135 minutes, more than 90 minutes. Full-length feature created entirely by artificial intelligence, directed by Ash Kusha, which, by the way, his likeness is in the movie as the main dude. And produced by the AI film studio Fountain O, the movie offers a psychological alternative take on the Greek hero Odysseus as a drowning man reckoning with his past. And this was done by, what was the other guy who did this?
The big movie?
Odysseus the Fall is expected to become available later this summer for $9.99 rental. It's gained significant buzz for being released alongside with the Christopher Nolan's massive $250 million live-action adaptation of The Odyssey starring Matt Damon.
Yeah, but that movie looks like it's going to be a terrible dog.
I would suggest you go and look at the trailers for this.
Yeah, they have, it's screwy. They got, for example, Elliot Page in the movie.
In which one?
In the Odyssey.
In the one with Matt Damon?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Playing Achilles.
Hmm.
And Achilles was this warrior, this giant unstoppable warrior who got an arrow in his heel. His Achilles heel, get it? And why would you have this little kind of a twerp playing that character? So you can have a trans actor? Or what was that all about? And then the other joke of it is they have a black actress playing Helen of Troy, who was always considered to be, you know, in the original story, the most beautiful woman in all of Greece. But she's a kind of a black actress. And I swear by looking at the trailer, she's wearing blackface, which was not unusual back in the 20s during the minstrel shows when blacks would be in the minstrel shows and they would have charcoal on their face. There was a whole Broadway play about it called Shuffle Along that discussed this issue. This movie's not going to be a hit.
Well, I just sent you the fully generated AI trailer of Odysseus, what's it called?
The AI.
The Fall. it says it right here. Mid five figures.
Yeah,
Mid.
So it costs $50,000-$60,000.
Yeah. And the stuff is beautiful. It's crazy. And they did some crazy stuff with this. Now, I don't know how good it's going to be, but it's... I don't know if this is a review of this. I don't know. It's
well, that if it becomes even remotely successful, it's going to be a huge problem.
Yep. Tom Rogers is one of the guys that helped produce this. He's a longtime tech and media executive. He's the guy that founded CNBC while running NBC cable. Tom Rogers. Mm-hmm. He ponied up the $50,000. Yep. We were back to Netflix talking about that. That's going to be an issue and an interesting issue for these companies. It could actually go well for Netflix, right? If this kind of thing where you, and by the way, a lot of people are like, oh my God, you're doing a movie that's AI generated. Listen, let's all stop for a second and not get crazy here. CGI has been with us for a while. People are like, oh my God.
A long while.
You're gonna do scenes like the Titanic. Remember the Titanic? That was a huge amount of CGI.
Yeah.
And is CGI that much different from AI generation?
Well, you have real actors in front of green screen, so there's that.
Potentially. But you also have a lot of computer generated graphics. That's the point. That could be a lot of the...
All you're doing is swapping out the actors.
Right. You have, and for example, in like Sparta and those kind of movies where you have those huge amounts of people, they didn't have 400,000 people in a field. It was CGI. So...
Yeah, and Christopher Nolan went out of his way to, you know, to actually have real actors and real background actors and everybody in between. That's why it cost $250 million to do that movie.
And does anybody watch
it? And he did it on 70 millimeter. It might be the last effort by the movie makers to do something that extreme.
If it's unnecessary, why do it? It's like anything else. It's great, but does the end consumer really appreciate the fine 600, 1,200 thread count? You follow what I'm saying?
It's exactly the same thing. You're right. The 1,200 thread count.
Right. Is anybody going to know the difference between a 400? You don't know.
Somebody might.
Somebody might. There is always the person that feels the pee at the bottom of the mattress. But for most people, none of that matters. It's the entertainment value and what they get out of it. And if you can get close, there are people that enjoy. I personally cannot watch an animation. I mean, maybe one or two here or there. But generally speaking, you know, a movie that's an animation or
you can't watch The Family Guy?
That's different. That's a comedy. That's a little bit different. Take that as a comedy, right? I'm talking about these what do they call them? Not live actions? No, what do they call them? I mean, I did like Avatar, so I guess that's an exception. But generally speaking, like my daughter, she loves just watching all these, I call them cartoons, animations. That's all consumer created. Mickey Mouse was computer created. Well, or drawings, but then computer created it later on. Stop action and things of that nature, right?
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, do you have any thoughts on AI versus non-AI? Is this a breach of something? Is this a problem?
No, not for me. I'm not in the business. As far as I'm concerned, the quality of the product's good at the end, and it's fun. And it's entertaining. I don't care how it's done.
Would you ever have an AI guest or co-host on a podcast?
No, God, no, because they're terrible. Again, it's the quality that counts.
What if they got good?
I don't see how it can happen.
I'd like to try it as an experiment. Although I can't stand the guy on some of their voices, but I'd like to try it. I know it's being done. I think Will.i.am did something or something. There's a few of them out there, but it could be interesting.
They're flat. There's no, for one thing, an AI thing can't ad lib. They're typically not funny.
Mm-hmm.
And,
not like us.
The timing is not good. Maybe, you know, get some good Jewish AI.
That oh, might help. A Yenta AI.
You know, somebody can do some quality insults, but I'm not seeing it.
Like a Jackie Mason. We'll do Jackie Mason. What do you name? What do you think? What do you know?
I met him twice. He is quite the personality.
Yeah. I told you I met him where I met him, right?
Yeah, I think so.
He was outside his apartment in New York City. I walked up. I'm like, you know, he's just standing out there. I said, hey, excuse me, are you Jackie Mason? He says, you know me.
You had to ask?
No, I said, you're Jackie Mason? He goes, oh, hey, how do you know me? What do you know? Did you see my job? You see my show? You see it? How do you, your grandfather, your father, me, you, young guy, how do you, huh? It's great. And then after I left, I was so excited about the whole thing. I found out he does it all the time. Only second to my very close encounter with Evander Holyfield.
Ooh.
I was at the Bullet.
I got to see Evander Holyfield's first big fight.
Oh, yeah?
Live. And he walked by when they were leaving. He knocked this guy out cold in like four rounds. And as he was leaving, he walked right by us. We had a seat that was right in an aisle. And he walks by leaving. Man, that guy, he just looked like a guy you wouldn't want to mess with.
He's like a stone man walking. I was going up, I was leaving the Bull and Bear Club in Manhattan, and